on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
For our Heritage Foundation update today, we catch up with Elizabeth Mitchell of the Heritage Foundation. She's a White House correspondent for the Daily Signal. She recently had a conversation with Senator Marsha Blackburn, a Republican from Tennessee, on the topic of obstruction of appointees. Let's hear that conversation.
Thank you so much for doing this conversation today, Senator Blackburn.
I'm delighted to do it. Thank you.
Some universities in your home state of Tennessee were found secretly pushing DEI and trying to hide their DEI initiatives in order to get past President Trump's executive order prohibiting universities from promoting DEI. Mm-hmm. What was your response to that?
What I did was to reach out and ask questions. And whether it is Belmont, Vanderbilt, or University of Tennessee, what I have found is that those universities had put in place policies to make certain that they were complying with federal and state law. What we think is happening is you have individual faculty members or staff members who disagree with those policies and wanted to continue to push DEI. So each of the universities is conducting an audit to make certain that they are in compliance, and we look forward to getting the results of that audit. They all know, each and every one know, that they have to comply with federal law. They have to comply with state law, and neither federal or state law allows them to continue DEI practices.
What penalties should they face if they are continuing to use these diversity, equity, and inclusion practices?
And what they will see is you look at what's happened with Columbia, a $250 million settlement with the government. When you're talking about anti-Semitic activity, DEI type activity, Harvard wanting to come in and settle with the federal government, you have to abide by the law. If not, there's restrictions of the funds that are available to you.
You introduced a bill potentially revoking the charter of the National Education Association, the largest teachers union. What was the reason for that?
The reason for that is they are the only federally chartered union. And think about that. They are the only ones. And you look at the activities of the DEI. In 2020, it was the NEA that tried to block the reopening of schools. 2021, they are signing on in support of CRT. You look at the fact that in the 2024 election cycle, 98% of the contributions made by the NEA and NEA members went to Democrats. And because of that, they've become a union that is just not focused on the child in the classroom. They're focused on the union. So in addition to removing that federal charter, we also have legislation that would block any federally chartered union, which of course there's only one, the NEA, from lobbying the U.S. House and Senate.
That makes sense. And Daily Signal recently reported that the White House will soon send another rescissions package to Congress, and it will include cuts to the Department of Education. Do you think that this seems like a good way to cut the Department of Education in line with President Trump's executive order?
Oh, absolutely it is. Linda McMahon, as Secretary of the Department of Education, is doing a fabulous job. And the fact that she's already removed about half the employees there. And her goal is to close it down and send that money and that power and authority back to the states. And that's the way it should be with the state school boards, the county school boards, the local school making decisions on how to best teach those children that are in front of them. And you want to preserve parents' rights and parents' participation in the education of their children. So that control being at the local level is exactly where it should be.
Do you expect that rescissions package on education to receive some pushback in Congress, even from Republican members?
I think everyone realizes that the U.S. Department of Education has not done the job we would like to see of increasing the educational outcomes of our children. So since something is not working, let's do something differently.
Makes sense. And Secretary McMahon said last week that another way that she would like to dismantle the department is through multiple small bills instead of one large bill to slowly let Congress chip away at the funding of the Department of Education. Is that a practice that you think would succeed in Congress?
Being able to close down different sections and send that authority as you have something ready to close it down, close it and send the authority back to the states. Absolutely. And then it's going to be up to our governors and our state legislatures to make certain that they are putting the laws in place that it will allow them to accept that authority and that funding ability and work with those local school boards.
One of those ways that those bills could work is reallocating some of those programs that the Department of Education has under their control over to HHS, SBA, different departments. Do you think that that seems like something that the Senate would be able to vote to get behind?
Yes. SBA is looking at taking over student loans, and that is really quite appropriate. And then you have other programs that simplify grants, simplify the jurisdiction over different programs, and whether it should go to labor or HHS, they'll find the best home for that. And what that does is to remove duplication. It removes duplicative funding, and it ends up saving the taxpayer money and returns the control to your state and local levels.
Do you think that Tennessee schools would benefit and that parents and children in your state would be happy to see the Department of Education close down some and then send that funding and those resources over to the state so that they're really in charge of education?
Everyone's always looking for education funding and want to have more resources for kids in classrooms. So when you remove the bureaucratic mess from this and you say, all right, we've got money, authority, power, state and local school boards, here you go. I think that in Tennessee, we are innovators, and our legislators, our school boards, our teaching teams in different schools, they are going to relish having this opportunity to say, here is how we serve our children better.
What would your message be to schools, universities in Tennessee and across the country who are failing to comply with President Trump's executive orders on DEI and on gender ideology as well?
And when you look at these executive orders, you know that this administration means business. You know that things are the rule of law and the law of the land. And therefore, if you're expecting federal funds, you need to be in compliance with the law.
And one more question on another topic. President Trump has mentioned the possibility, he's suggested that the Senate should cancel its August recess in order to continue confirming his nominees. Are you happy with the speed of nominations, or what would your characterization of the nominations so far?
President Trump is the only president to have nominees presented and not confirmed on voice votes. And it is imperative that we move some of these U.S. attorneys, some of these deputy assistants into blocks, and that we pass them en bloc and make certain that we get these individuals confirmed. We have 140 plus nominees that are waiting for their confirmation vote. The Democrats are being obstructionist. They are requiring a cloture and then a vote on each one of these. And many of these have gone by voice vote in the past and for former presidents. By this point into his term, Joe Biden had 44 confirmations done by a voice vote.
Wow. What do you think has been different this time? Why do you think the Democrats are so opposing this in such a strong way?
Well, you have to realize that the Democrats learn nothing from the November election. They lost at the ballot box. They have lost on the floor of the House and the Senate. They are losing in the courts, and they feel like they've got one thing left, and that is obstruction. So every day they wake up trying to obstruct Republicans and President Donald Trump, and every day we wake up, and every day I am focused on doing what the American people sent us here to do. Tennesseans said, go to the Senate, get this country back on track, support President Trump and his agenda, get the border secure, get inflation down, get crime down in our cities, restore our standing in the world, rebuild our military, get men out of women's sports, and President Donald Trump is delivering.
What effect do you think that obstruction, both of the nominees and of the Big Beautiful Bill, will have on midterms?
The Big Beautiful Bill has something in it for everybody, whether you're a family member or a farmer, whether you're a small business owner or an employer. There are provisions there. It's the largest tax cut in U.S. history with no tax on tips or overtime. And my provision, no tax on Social Security for seniors. So people, the more they hear about it and know about it, the more they like it. It is going to be a plus. And I think the Democrats are going to be in for a rude awakening. The American people wanted the country back on track. That's what they voted for. And they have continued to try to obstruct that agenda.
Is there anything else we haven't covered yet that you'd like to add?
I think that's it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your
Thank
time.
You.
Really appreciate uh-huh. it.
That's Elizabeth Mitchell, Heritage Foundation's reporter for the Daily Signal, the White House correspondent, actually, for the Daily Signal. And her conversation with Senator Marsha Blackburn, a Republican from Tennessee. Love how the senator finished with the importance of our freedom to participate in the election process and how important that is on the local level, the national level, the statewide level. And we hope you will continue to participate and pray for our nation's leaders. Coming up right after the break, ABQ Connect continues with our Friday financial update with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates. Coming up next on ABQ Connect.